Welcome to Real Christianity, where our mission is to bring the church back to the Bible. My name is Dale Partridge, and I'm the president of Relearn.org and Reformation Seminary. The premise of this show is simple. The culture is growing darker. The church is in need of sound doctrine, and many Christians are hungry for the truth. Join me here each week as we look to Scripture and discover what it really means to be a Christian. Welcome to the show. Today's going to be a little bit different. We are going to take a break from our Romans study because I want to confront an issue that I think is absolutely essential. This is the issue of why you should put yourself or your family into membership at a local church. That is to say that why you should make sure that you are connected to the local church. It's my opinion, actually, that if you love your family, the most impactful, fruitful thing that you can do is make sure that your family is connected to a local church. I can't tell you how many times I have met families at the precipice of brokenness. As a pastor, I'll get phone calls from people that I don't know or haven't talked to in many years, and we'll say, we're right about to have a divorce, or we're separated, or my husband's addicted to pornography, or my wife's an alcoholic, or whatever it may be, life is falling apart, and we need some help. And I go, where's your local church? Why aren't you connected to a local church? They come to you at the very last yard line, at the 99-yard line. These things need to be dealt with at the 25-yard line or at the first yard line. And so these are issues why we need to, while things are good in our families, make sure we're a part of a local church so that when things get bad, when things get tough, when tragedy and trials come, they will you will be connected to a body of believers who can facilitate redemptive reconciliation, biblical counseling, and really restore the biblical order of your home. That is one of the great benefits of local church membership. But I'm going to talk about the 12 blessings of local church membership and why your family should absolutely prioritize, especially you men. Pay attention for a second, men. You must make sure your family is in a strong biblical local church. Now, what if you're like, hey, we don't have a strong biblical local church? I go, move your family, quit your job, find another job, get rid of whatever's going on. I don't care if your parents are in town. I don't care if you have really good friends there. If you can't find, I mean, like you've searched, you spent a year trying to do it, you can't find a local church, you either need to A, go to Reformation Seminary, which is our program to plant a house church and plant a biblical house church, or move. If you're not called to ministry, move. Because I'm telling you, the lack of being connected with a local church spiritually in a family is absolutely dangerous. Absolutely dangerous. We need to be willing to do whatever it takes to relocate, to put ourselves and our families under the spiritual care of elders in connection with membership of a local church so that we can be fulfilling the one another's of Scripture. There's so many blessings that we're going to be talking about. Before I dive in, I want to make a couple announcements. One, this episode is totally unscripted. I usually spend 5 to 10 hours preparing for an episode. I just had a little bit of a passion this morning of, we need to talk about this. And I wanted to make sure that we have an episode to really nail in the importance of church membership and finding a local church that really is fruitful for your family and is obviously aligned with Scripture. So that's the first thing. So give me some grace if I kind of stumble around a little bit here. The second thing I wanted to talk about is my book, The Manliness of Christ, is not on pre-order anymore. It's actually available for anybody to order. And so if you guys would like to get a copy of The Manliness of Christ, especially for you ladies that have men in your lives, this is a great Father's Day gift. You can order that at relearn.org/man, relearn.org/man. It's 10 bucks. We've already sold maybe 1,500 of them. And we have another 1,500 available for sale right now. We'll order more at some point, but please consider picking up The Manliness of Christ. It's how the masculinity of Jesus eradicates effeminate Christianity. Now, we're going to be talking about some of those things even today because we have a church where men are passive. And the reason a lot of families aren't, Christian families aren't connected to a local church is because of their passiveness. They need to see the manliness, the providing and protecting that Christ has offered so that they can mimic that in their masculinity and lead their families well. So again, manliness of Christ, you can go to relearn.org/man. Okay, so we're going to dive in here. And again, I'm going totally off the cuff here, but I want to talk about the blessings of local church membership. Number one, I want to talk about regular reciprocating fellowship. This is a huge blessing of a local church. You have regular, that is weekly. We know that the early church met on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And they met on the first day of the week to commemorate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus becomes our rest. Instead of meeting on Saturday, as a synagogue did in remembrance of the Sabbath, the New Testament church met on Sunday to commemorate the resurrection. Jesus Christ is our rest from the law. Instead of the old way where it was work 6 days and then rest on the seventh, the new covenant way is start with rest and work from that. And that is the gospel of grace that you must understand. But regular reciprocating fellowship is so essential. You want to have that regular touch point on Sunday, but more than that, you want to have community touch points midweek. You should be having a men's meeting or a women's meeting or a coffee or a dinner or having a family over every single week. So you have fellowship, you have close connections with people. Now, the word fellowship in the Greek is koinonia. Koinonia is a participatory fellowship. We have Christ in common. It's not one-sided. It's reciprocating. It's the one another's. There's over 100 one another's in the New Testament. We need to be walking those out. So local church membership offers the ability for reciprocating and regular fellowship. And there's some references there. If you want to look up Colossians 3:16, Acts 2:42 through 47, Acts 20 verse 7, Hebrews 10:24 through 25. All right. So number two is the second blessing is spiritual warnings and encouragement. We live in a time that is incredibly discouraging. We live in a time, I say anytime, where you need spiritual warning. When you're walking into territory, mismanagement of assets, mismanagement of home, mismanagement of children, whatever it may be, temptations, opportunities that are risky. Sin abounds in the sense that it's all around us. We live in a fallen flesh, we have a broken world, and we have an enemy. And so we want to make sure that we're around people on a regular basis that can offer us spiritual warnings and encouragement. Now, this is something we need to have a heart for, right? It says in the scriptures, and I wish I had it in front of me, it's in the Proverbs, but essentially a fool despises a rebuke, but a wise man loves it, okay? The idea is those of you who say, oh yeah, I love being accountable, most people are lying when they say that. What we really need to do is when someone holds you accountable, we need to really appreciate that. Sure, discipline, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, is unpleasant when it's occurring, but it's good for us. And so spiritual warnings and encouragement, we need to be willing to be corrected. Now, if you're in a community of people, a community of Christians where you're not receiving correction ever, either you're living a perfect life, which you're not, or you're in a community of people that aren't willing to actually correct you when you need to be corrected. In a house church, biblical house church, I think correction happens a couple times a year for every single person because we're so close with one another. And so again, blessing number two, spiritual warnings and encouragement. Number three is the accountability to Scripture. You need people examining your life and measuring it against Scripture. You want to make sure that you're living that way all the time, not just when, you know, all hell breaks loose in your home and John's, you know, addicted to porn and there's an affair going on or whatever it might be. You need it even on the little stuff. you need accountability to scripture on how you speak to your children, or that as a wife, that you're actually caring for your home. You need people in your life to see your life so they can hold you accountable to scripture. So we need that ability. Number four is communion with the saints. This is a beautiful thing that we get to do. Christ instituted the Lord's Supper as a way to commemorate his death and resurrection and what he did on the cross for us. It is something incredibly special to be reconciled to God through Christ, through the elements of wine and bread, in a symbolic, obviously symbolic expression of the Eucharist. And so we don't believe in transubstantiation, where the blood and the bread are actually the physical blood and body of Jesus Christ. No, these are symbolic, but however, they are something for us to remember. We need to remember because we're forgetful people. If you read the Old Testament, you'll realize how forgetful God's people are. We're very, very forgetful. And so it's an opportunity to have communion with the saints in Christ, communion about the gospel, to revel in the grace that's been extended to us. That's something that's very a genuine blessing. Think about what you get to sit around the fire with somebody or have a barbecue over with some families, and you get a chance to talk about what God's doing in your lives and how wonderful you've been blessed this year, or the thing that you just learned from scripture, how encouraging those things are to you. That is communion with the saints. Now, there's obviously a formalized structural understanding of what I'm talking about, the Lord's Supper, but the essence of the idea of having fellowship with one another, communing with one another around the gospel is essential and an important part of church membership. Number five is the use and development of spiritual gifts. Okay, use and development of spiritual gifts. Everybody has a spiritual gift. Sometimes it's very evident. Sometimes it takes a lot of observation from other people to realize what gift you have. But everybody has every Christian has a gift that the Lord has given that person for the edification of the body of Christ, for the work of ministry. And this use in a church, you should be able to use that spiritual gift and develop it under the care and observation and supervision of elders. And so that's important. Again, that's why we love the biblical house church model, because you actually have an opportunity. You're not in audience Christianity or spectator Christianity. You actually have an opportunity to have an every member functioning gathering where you can use and develop that spiritual gift. Doesn't mean you can't do that in the traditional church. It's just a little bit, the structure does prevent that from being a widespread blessing for everybody in the church. Okay, number six is the protection from theological and doctrinal heresy. If you were a pastor in the 1600s and you preached a message on Sunday, and all week long your flock went out, they came back the following Sunday, the last thing they heard likely about, you know, the gospel or theology was from your mouth the previous Sunday. Unfortunately, that's not the case today. As a pastor, I know this very well, is that your flock goes out into the world and they listen to podcasts and they read books and they hover over social media articles and they watch videos and YouTube and documentaries, and they come back with doctrinal positions and ideas that you need to help shepherd them through ultimately wash their minds with the water of the word. Sometimes they come back with clarified doctrine. Sometimes they come back with heresy. And so we have lots of opportunities to take in false doctrine in our world. And you need to be willing to submit to the elders of the church that have been trained theologically to be able to discern truth from error so that you can be protected from believing wrong. One of my favorite quotes is from an old mentor who said, "If you believe wrong, you'll never live strong." And I believe that's true. We need to actually believe right. And we get that protection in a local church membership. Number seven, guidance toward holy and righteous living. It's not we don't just need to not sin in our life, but we actually want guidance through the preaching of the word, through the discipleship of the word being preached, through discipleship from one another in relationship, through discussion and fellowship. We want to be encouraged and spurred on to good works, to godly and righteous living. We want to continue to be sanctified in the truth, and this is vital. We can't do this if we're not with God's people on Sunday. So again, people, men, I don't care what is in the way. If you can't find a church to be a part of, and you need to find a church that is doctrinally sound, you need to find a church that you can actually look your kids in the eye when you leave and say, what he said in the pulpit is absolutely true. You don't want to get yourself in a situation where you have to constantly tell your children, well, what he said there, we actually don't believe, so he's kind of lying. But, we would rather not do the rock concert thing over here, but we're going to do that here. Whatever it may be, you just have to make sure that you're convicted. You need to make sure that you have biblical and doctrinal clarity. You need to make sure that you have biblically qualified elders. You don't have a woman pastor. Whatever it may be, get yourself into a biblical church. And I always tell people, if you can't find one, move here. Come here. Come to our little house church community here in Cottonwood, Sedona, Arizona, right? We'll take you. Come be here. I don't care what it takes. We'll help you get here. But that's the kind of attitude you need to have, is that whatever it takes, we will move, because the absence of your family from a biblical church is so much more dangerous than you continuously or than you actually relocating, or the hassle and the expense that it takes to relocate your family to be a part of one somewhere else. Okay, sorry, I'm getting off my soapbox right there. But again, protection from theological and doctrinal heresy. And I was on number 7. Guidance toward holy and righteous living. Yes, we need this. We need guidance toward holy and righteous living. I just love that I have brothers in my life that can tell me how to grow, and that they see things and encourage me, but also will direct me on how to be a better husband, how to be a better father, how my wife can be a better mother, how my wife can be a better homemaker, how I can be a better pastor. We need that. Okay, number 8, spiritual ministering to the family. Okay, as a pastor, if there's any pastors that are listening, you know that the top things that you deal with at a church is marriage and family. And so having a constant ministry, not just to dad or mom, but also to the children. I'm a huge fan of family integrated church. If you're not, you need to read a book called A Weed in the Church, talking about how we have created age segregated ministries. They're extra biblical. I actually would say that they're not. I have a struggle with them. I'm not going to say that they're unbiblical. I'm just going to say that I really am not in favor for age segregated ministries. I believe that the family should be in church together. And yes, I know there's some issues with having little children and all those things, but we have overcome those in the house church model. I've seen family integrated churches all over the place. There's actually, I forgot what it's called. It's like the, you can Google it up, like family integrated churches, and you'll find a search engine where you can actually find faithful churches that are family integrated, that don't have youth ministries and Sunday schools, if you want to get your kids in that. So ministering to the family. We want our kids to be ministered. As a pastor, I try to actually preach to the kids. I want the kids to hear part of the sermon. It's aimed and directed towards them. They are also part of the visible church. They are being sanctified by their parents' faith, if they're not believers already, in the sense that they are part of God's covenant people here in the body of Christ. Now, are they actually believers? We will find out as they age and mature, especially when we have these little ones. But we love to make sure that we're ministering to the family. We're also ministering to biblical family roles. We want to talk about traditional marriage. We want to talk about fighting against the counterfeits that are available today. We want to talk about what does it mean to be a godly boy and a godly girl and obedience to your parents. All these things are important. Number nine is giving in support of the Christian ministry. We have to believe that giving is more, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We really need to believe that. There's three types of giving that we see in the New Testament. It's one, it's not tithing. Tithing is biblical, but it's not Christian. Tithing was nailed to the cross. We are called to give, and it could be more than 10%. It could be less than 10%. It's all about the heart. And we want to see a cheerful giver. That's the Lord's. He said, I just want to see a cheerful giver, whatever that might be. We all know that all of it is the Lord's. But the three areas that we see in giving is giving to the poor. We see giving to the local church, the members and the needs of the local Christian church. This is Christian to Christian. Man, you got a bunch of debt over there. Let me help you out. Or hey, your car broke down. Let me help you get yourself a new car. Or can I cover your insurance for you? Whatever it might be. Those needs. It could, medical need, whatever it might be. Another thing could be, it must be, is the laborer is worthy of his wages. You need to be giving to your pastor. Now, in a traditional model, you have all types of things you have to take in consideration. You have to pay for the building and the landscaping budget and the electric bill and the parking lot maintenance and the staff and all that stuff. In a biblical house church, you just basically give so that your pastor can study the Word of God and come prepared and basically have some sort of compensation for the time that he's taking away from secular work that would provide him an income for his family so that he could do that. That is one thing. We do need to be giving at some capacity to our local church, to the ministry that's happening there, making sure that it's Great Commission focused, that the gospel is continuing to go out, that the kingdom of God is continuing to take root. So giving is a blessing. You need to be doing it. If you're not a part of a local church, you can't do that, at least in all three of those categories. Number 10, support and spiritual, emotional, physical, or financial need. Anybody that's been through some sort of illness or chronic illness or depression or anxiety or a physical disability or whatever it may be, or spiritual turmoil, knows that you just want to be connected so that when those tragedies strike, and they will strike, you have people there. You have people there. We've never walked outside of community as a family. We've always had Christians around us. So when tragedy hits, we have all types of people around us, whether it's financial, physical, emotional, spiritual. We have people there. God has cared for us because we've been members of a local church. And I watch families. Show me a family that's absolutely drowning in tragedy and alone, and I'll show you a family that's likely not connected to a local church. Because when you're connected to a local church, you're actually a faithful, participating, reciprocating, a believer in that congregation. Man, when those moments come up, the Lord cares for his people through his church. It's an amazing thing. Don't miss out on that. Number 11, discipline in times of sin. We talked about this a little bit before. You need to be corrected. It's a good thing. I need to be corrected. It's a good thing. We all need to be humble enough to hear corrections. And we need to be constantly in a state of reconciliation, constantly in a state and desire to be connected with one another. Discipline in sin is wonderful. Imagine if you didn't discipline your kids. How wicked would that be to allow them to continue on not knowing that they're sinning? No, it's wicked. We would never do it. We discipline our kids because we love them. The Proverbs talks about that. He who spares the rod hates his child. And so no, we need to constantly be disciplining our families, the men and women in our churches. Now we do that discipline in love, and sure, we're going to fail at that. We're going to do things harshly here and there, but there needs to be grace on both sides. But the reality is that we need to be willing to be in a community that offers discipline and correction when there is sin. It is a safe thing. And you need to know people well enough that they can actually bring a correction. If you do this whole thing where it's like, you can get this close, but then stop right there. You keep everybody at arm's length, then you're never going to have anybody comfortable enough to offer you correction, your sin. So when your husband's addicted to, video games, and he's playing, what's the name of that video game? I can't think of it. No, I can't think of it because I don't play video games. But when he's sitting there playing, Call of Duty, there you go. Call of Duty, 8 o'clock at night, he's not being a good husband. If you're not part of a local church, you have no one to talk to about those things and no correction that can be made. But those things need to be dealt with. You need to have accountability and correction when there's rampant sin. Okay, number 12. This is the equipping for the personal ministry. You have a personal ministry. And if you don't have a personal ministry, you have a problem. The Great Commission includes your personal ministry. We are called to fulfill the Great Commission within our sphere of influence, in the sense of, a mother's Great Commission is that those children that she spends so much time with. Father's, Great Commission is disciplining those kids. Now, there's a sense that we also have a Great Commission to get out and preach the gospel whenever the Lord has prompted us by the Spirit to do so. And we got to be ready in season and out of season to preach the gospel. Therefore, we need to be trained in theological doctrine so that we can explain what we believe, answer those difficult questions, always be ready. And the way we're ready is because we're constantly being trained. We're constantly being built up. We're reciprocating fellowship. We can preach the gospel. And when we get attacked or we get persecuted or we get shut down or we have deeper questions or follow-up questions, we have a community that we can draw from. And so I just want to encourage you guys as we close out here, get connected to a local church. I don't care what it takes, men. I don't care what it takes. We need to move our families. We need to find it. We need to get on the phone call. We need to look at their statement of faith. We need to visit them. There are some good church finders. You can use TMS, it's the Master's Seminary. They have a church finder, and you can go to tms.edu. And you could find, like, just Google the Master Seminary Church Finder. You're going to find some faithful churches there. I know Nine Marks also offers a church finder that's pretty good. And you can look at Nine Marks, 9MARKS.com. Our network of house churches is reformationfellowship.org. That's available. We have a church finder there for our house churches. We only have about 10 house churches in it now, but we are continuing to plant more churches. By the end of the year, Lord willing, we'll have about 25. And so you'll start to find those. And in a couple of years, maybe we'll have, 100. And so, that is another thing for you to consider in your journey. But the big thing is get connected and stay connected. Don't get offended. Don't get hurt. Don't be transient. Don't go in and out. Don't waffle. Don't go flip-flopping. Don't go visiting and never committing. Actually commit, anchor down, and be a part of a local church. All right, guys, that was my quick soapbox for the day. Hopefully that was edifying for you guys. Thank you for listening to this show. We've had, I think, 6,500 reviews for this podcast. They really do help the exposure of the show. So if you haven't left a review, would you do that? All you got to do is just tap the stars in the podcast app that you listen to, especially if it's on Apple Podcasts. But if you write something on Apple Podcasts, I will read it. You can also listen to the show on Spotify, which lots of people listen to on Spotify. So you can share that. Another thing I'd ask you to do is consider sharing one of these episodes with a friend. I always post these episodes plus the show notes for these episodes at relearn.org. And you can follow that, have the show notes, the scripture references that we put together. I'll list all these 12 points that I made today and put that there. So this will always be available for you to listen to. On that note, just one last reminder, pick up the manliness of Christ at relearn.org/man. And on that note, I will stop talking. Thank you guys for joining me today. My name is Dale Partridge. This is Real Christianity, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Real Christianity. Real Christianity is a listener-supported audio ministry of relearn.org. Our mission at relearn.org is to bring the church back to the Bible. We achieve this through strengthening Christians in biblical and theological literacy. Find biblical articles, podcasts, sermons, and videos at our website at relearn.org. Our team is small, but our mission is large, and we need your help. If you'd like to support our ministry financially, you can always do so at relearn.org/donate. Thank you again for joining me today, and I hope to see you next week for another episode of Real Christianity.